This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Basket of Phelps, 92-3. The Fan. The Cavaliers up 2-0 against the Orlando Magic. Another wire-to-wire victory last night for the Cavaliers as they win 96-86. That's after winning game one, 97-83. I like the way they're playing right now, Jeff. I know there are some lulls every once in a while, and there's some, I don't know, some weird turnovers every once in a while. But overall, I like the fact that I don't feel like everything has to be a three-point shot. I was getting a little frustrated with George Niang. I don't know why I can't spit it out today. Niang yesterday, I just felt like he couldn't hit anything. And after the third one that he had missed, I was like, okay, let's turn the page and try to find someone else that's open in this situation.
Well, I put together some thoughts, positives, and concerns.
Okay.
We'll talk about Niang in that.
Okay. I thought Okoro was a positive last night. I like the way he
played a good quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I really, Jeff, I like the NBA game when it's underneath the basket. And I saw a lot of that yesterday. And I like the, I know we're going to talk about referees later. I know the refs are letting stuff go that maybe they didn't call during the regular season. I like this brand of NBA basketball better than regular season basketball. I like the,
you mean where there's actually like some contested stuff?
Yeah. And
well, not, people just aren't running free and putting up 120 points?
Yes, it's exactly what I'm talking about. I just the ball movement. Both teams, I mean, at points had just great plays where they were looking for the trailer or they were looking for a guy that doesn't look open, then all of a sudden they're open in a fraction of a second. Or just, you know, watching big guys battle underneath the glass to try to get the basketball rather than kicking it out for endless three after three after three. And, you know, when you do make a three in a game that sometimes is being played underneath the hoop, those threes just feel so much more impactful. They just, they're like daggers left and right. And, you know, it's still the fact that what they cut it to 11 late. And then,
nine.
You know, you're watching that, you're like, we're inside of 4 minutes here. Something.
I didn't think there was enough time.
I didn't either, but I was still concerned.
But still, it was like, why are you letting these guys not just hang around, but kind of come back? If I'm Orlando, I'm not discouraged going home for game three. I'm really not.
Mitchell was so much fun to watch in that first quarter.
Pretty good, Andy.
Yeah, it just, you know, there are so many different parts of that game last night that I sat back and I was like, I enjoy watching this. And I don't know if it's because I thought, you know, I think the Cavs are a superior team to Orlando or the way they played the last
game. Well, they are a superior team to Orlando.
We'll see. Those two nights, they were.
Andy, I think they are a
better team. I think they are, too, but I don't want to give
it to that. Doesn't mean you win the series. You still have to go play it.
Right.
You still have to coach it. But I think Orlando, I think the Cavs are a better team.
I hope they are who we thought they were. Give me your thoughts, Jeff.
What do you want? You want me to give you some positives?
Yeah, give me the positives. So let me see if I agree with your positives and negatives.
Okay. First of all,
and by the way, if you want to hop in, 216-474-0092.
It's real clear to me the Cavs are a better team. Orlando is young. They're athletic. They're on their way. And they will be very good. I like their talent. I really do. And I like their scrappiness. I think they play very hard. They're just not very good offensively. And the Cavs' defense has had something to do with that. No question. Positives in this series so far.
Okay.
I love the offensive distribution. And why? You touched on it. It wasn't carbon copy game one to game two, but it was real similar. You know, it was the same type of offensive distribution with Donovan Mitchell leading the way and leading the way in shots, just about the same number. And then Mobley, Allen, Garland, just about the same spot. I love the mix in the first two games. Donovan leading the way and Evan and Jarrett and Darius having similar offensive nights. And Darius came on late, showed you what he's capable of. He came on and was pretty strong. So I thought that was really good. Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, huge. They're both averaging 16 points a game. They're averaging almost 30 rebounds a game combined. Jarrett, remember last year he said the lights were too bright? They're not too bright right now. He's averaging 19 rebounds a game. He's been phenomenal. And Evan Mobley at 9.5 rebounds a game. That's terrific. Another positive?
Okay, keep the positives rolling.
Donovan Mitchell's knee does not seem to be a noticeable issue. That's huge. Can that continue? We hope so. I hope he's okay. It does not look like it's a problem. I'm sure he's feeling it, Andy, but it doesn't look like it's a problem. And the other positive, the defense has been, and I'm hesitant to say the defense has been great because I think the Magic's offense is part of the reason why the defense has been so good. They're an offensively challenged team, I think. And the defense has been very good. So combine those two things, and that's why we've had a couple of games with the Magic scoring in the 80s.
Again, you go back and look throughout the regular season, Orlando, when they held teams under, I think they only had two losses all season long, when they held teams under 100, or they held the other team to under 100. It's something that they were able to do for most of the season. At least that was the stat I caught yesterday.
One thing Orlando's done, if I'm an Orlando fan, that drives me nuts, hey, our threes aren't dropping.
Let's keep doing it.
Let's shoot more.
I don't get it.
That's one thing about today's NBA that just drives me nuts. They made under 26% of their threes last night. But they jacked up 35 of them. Okay. That's great.
But what do you?
Thanks. That's really nice.
You know, when I watch every game, I was thinking
Cavs jacked up 39 threes.
I know, but they
and
didn't.
They only made 30, just under 31%. I mean, you got two teams.
You didn't
that aren't,
feel like they were living and dying by the three last night, though, did you? I didn't.
No. I like the 3-point shot when it's shot by guys who know how to make 3-point shots on a regular basis. The idea of, well, he needs to go shoot three. No, he doesn't. He's not very good at it. He doesn't need to go do that.
Well, Jared Allen followed suit. He didn't shoot anything.
Well, and I'd like to thank him for that.
When you watch Garland and Mitchell yesterday, again, I'm talking about when JB puts them in, when he puts them in together. Like, in that first quarter, I thought Mitchell was flying high in that first quarter.
Well, good.
And Garland was out on the floor. And
Donovan made 2 of 10 threes.
I thought that they were, I thought they had good chemistry in the first quarter. Like I wasn't, as I was watching, because it felt like Garland knew that, hey, Mitchell's on fire, man. I am not going to mess with what's going on here.
Well, Darius just laid out, it seemed, just played the
position. That was okay though, right?
That's winning team basketball. And then later in the game, when Donovan was out especially, Darius was really good. And see, Darius had a winning game. And if you want to look at his numbers after the game, he had winning numbers, despite having only 4 assists. Okay, he had 15 points. He was 4 of 7 on threes. He was the only guy. Well, I shouldn't say that. He was the only starter that I thought was worth a hoot on threes. He made 4 of 7. That was great. And, Isaac had a nice game off the bench. So did Caris LeVert. They were effective in their minutes. And I thought Darius played winning basketball last night. Good for him. That's the way to do it. But I just love the fact that in these first two games, Andy, Mobley and Allen have really been used and have been factors. And it's not just them. It's the way the team played that allowed them to be factors. And it's the way Darius played that allowed them to be factors. Well done.
There's a part of me that watched these first two games also trying to figure out what did they get out of, like, last year sucked. The whole series against the Knicks just bothered me the entire offseason.
Well, they didn't play well.
But there was more to it. It was just like, not only did they not play well, they looked like they were soft. And I like the fact that they've got a little bit of attitude. In fact, Jared Allen, after the game, somebody asked him that question, and then he came back and answered it. Nobody wants to get called soft.
Yeah, but I also don't want to go out and, you know, beat people up.
Yeah, they're not being idiots about it.
No.
But they're bad. I mean, Evan is battling for every rebound underneath. Jared Allen is battling. Those guys are playing hard.
Jared's been really good, man. I love that guy, and I love his game.
And to be able to watch this, again, get two more wins, and then I'll start thinking about whatever's next, probably Boston, that you want to think about what's next. But right now, in the moment, I can't be much happier. I can't be. Yes, there are things to fix. Did you go through your list of things that need to be fixed yet?
Nope, that's coming up.
All right.
Let's do that next segment.
All right, let's talk about what needs to be fixed.
Because I do have some concerns. Though the Cavs have played very well in these first two games, Andy, I think there are some screaming issues.
I'm not kidding. That third quarter last night felt like it took 2 hours. I'm like, this thing is dragging. And it's just like no one looked. Look how low scoring it was, too. Cavs outscored Orlando 20-17 in that third quarter yesterday. And you'd think, I don't know, maybe that's why it felt so slow.
Cavs scoring
it was so
went down
sluggish.
Every quarter. I don't know if that's a concern or not, but it's interesting. From 30-28-22-16.
Interesting. All right, let's go back. Let's check out some of the things they need to work on. I also want to take your phone calls when we return. 216-474-0092. Cavs in the driver's seat against Orlando, up 2-0, heading to Orlando. Your thoughts, your reaction to the Cavaliers' 96-86 win last night in game number two.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Yeah.
Does that mean?
Cavs up.
Yeah.
2-0 on Orlando. Mary Kay Cabot joins us at 11. Jeff is going to give us his what needs to get fixed for the Cavaliers.
I don't know if it needs to get fixed. I have concerns, Andy.
All right, Jeff, we will talk.
I have concerns.
You will air your grievances here in a moment.
Yes.
Let's take a couple quick phone calls. I don't know why I'm doing this. Oh, I know why I'm doing this. Bostonian, what's up, Ty Domi? What's going on, man? How are you? Is that you? Bostonian! Oh, this is the greatest phone call ever. Bostonian, if you're an idiot, say nothing.
He went to the tea party.
Bostonian, what was the score of the Bruins-Leafs game last night?
That's enough.
3-2 Leafs?
Put him back on hold.
I'm not putting him on hold. Look at that.
He was there.
That was the greatest Bostonian call ever.
He was doing chores for his wife.
Rhino, Ryan's Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Rhino. How are you?
Hey, Hody, Medican, Jeff, Andy. Good Tuesday morning to you, man. I was looking forward to the Bostonian. I haven't heard him in a minute. Oh, man.
That was probably some of the most intelligent stuff he's ever said on our air.
He was the nicest I've ever heard him, actually, for the first time. Optimism off the yin-yang. But I digress on that. It's all about the Cavs. I tell you, man, just a little bit of oomph, obviously, in this. A pep in the step after, obviously, the crowd got more ignited with the uniqueness of, you know, just having Miles Garrett involved somehow, some way, just allowing us to just feel good about not being considered the early 90s Cavs, and again, Jeff and Angie kind of mentioned just toughness mentality. Again, we're playing a really gritty team, obviously, that's all defensive-minded, and this is just that old-school mentality. It feels like the Pacers-Knicks back in the early 90s, and just that just rebound and get the job done mentality. But again, I just want to move on to the next round and beat these guys without any unique scenario occurring. Overzealous mentality. We have to play in their arena, obviously, and they will have a ruckus crowd. And again, I've been in that arena before, and it's pro Cavs. The last one was there, so it might be again. Same time, with that being said, I really just don't want any injuries. Again, these guys are all playing their hardest and the basketball at its best. All of the series are looking good. But again, the Cavs, man, just again, what do we have? I don't know. I want that team from December. In January back, winning by 18 points a game with just team effort dominance. Do we have that back? Is the momentum getting there? The rhythm? I'm hopeful. Not sure. But again, we got the job done yesterday. It was just a good win, as always. But hey, guys, great show as always. Thanks for making my call.
Rhino, thank you. Appreciate it. All right, give me your things that need to be improved. Air your grievances, Jeff.
All right. In watching the first two games, the Cavs have looked terrific, right? We know that. They're up 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
Look a little deeper, and there might be some things. You signed Max Strus and George Niang to improve your outside shooting, especially for the playoffs. Short sample size. Through two playoff games, they have combined to shoot 3 of 21 on three-pointers. Max Strus is 2 of 10. George Niang is 1 of 11. That's not good. And you brought them in to hit threes. As a team, the Cavs are at 29% on threes. Not good. You're playing Orlando. You've taken care of them in the first two games. It hasn't been an issue, but it could be down the road. 3 of 21 for the two guys you brought in to hit threes. This one is a big concern for me. You've allowed the Magic to hang around in both games. And you've had big leads, and they've cut into them late. And they've cut into them with an offense that's not very good so far. That, to me, is a concern. I don't like that at all. And you have to figure the Magic's going to warm up, Andy. They're shooting 34% for the series. That's terrible.
I don't know. Young guys, first playoff.
I know. They're going to warm up a little bit.
Probably.
So if they warm up a little bit and they've already been coming back in games after you've had them down, that's a bad combination. I still think the Cavs win in six, maybe even five. But that's a bad combination. But it makes me want to look ahead. You're not going to like this. If the Cavs play the way they've played against the Magic in the first two games, against whoever they play in the second round, most likely Boston, they're not going to last long. They're going to have to shoot better, and they've been letting teams hang around. And the Magic hang around. And the Cavs have to be better than that. Or this is not going to be a long playoff run. Not that it is anyway. You never know. But those two things to me just scream, man, you better fix that, and you better fix that fast. Because at this point, you're up 2-0. Bury Orlando and be better than that against the next opponent, probably the Celtics.
All right, when you say bury Orlando, right, in the next two games, what are you looking for?
I just hate the idea that you let teams come back. I mean, I didn't think there was enough time for the Magic to come back, but they cut a 20-point lead down to 9.
Yeah, wasn't there a fluky 4-point play in there, too?
But I understand it's part
of the game. I get it.
It's the Cavs, I thought, had a propensity during the season to let teams hang, and I thought it cost them a few times. You can't let really good teams hang because they will come back and beat you.
No, that's true. They won't be able to do that against Boston, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
What that series is 1-0. They played night. They've got to be back on the floor here pretty soon, don't they? Yeah. So they won that first game 114-94. But I thought I just Miami never got into that game. They looked like a team that had played two games earlier.
Well, yeah,
this week,
that's the penalty for being the play-in team,
right? And so that's kind of where they fell. I think Miami will be better in the next game against Boston. I don't know if they're better enough to beat them in Boston for game two, but. That's just kind of the way I'm looking. All right, I'll give them one more chance. I don't know why. Why do I do these things? Go ahead, Bostonian. What do you got?
Hi, Bostonian.
Don't make me do this again. You'll be banned if you don't say something this time. There you go.
I get tired of listening to you guys bragging about the Cavaliers. You're going to get out to Boston and you're going to get beat.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
Yeah.
You can dream all you want.
Yeah.
And the Celtics will take care of Miami. They had the best record in basketball.
That doesn't mean anything now, though, does it? Does it really?
Oh, yes, it does.
Nah, it doesn't mean anything.
I think it does mean something.
Hey, can you repeat after me? Repeat after me, Bostonian. Austin Matthews. We're going to have a little lesson this morning. Austin Matthews. You know who that is?
No, I'm not repeating.
Max. Oh, man, what happened to your Bruins last night?
Go Leafs, go!
I actually like the Bruins, but I just hate the Bostonians so much that I will root for the Maple Leafs.
Hi to the missus.
Thank you. The golden tones of Dan Menigan, 88 Fingers Menigan, playing us out there. Chris is in Chicago. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Gents. Wow, I didn't know the Bostonian was still around. That's good stuff. And Austin Matthews rhymes with Boston Matthews. Go Leafs. Hopefully the Bruins go down in flames. That's just my personal opinion.
Love it.
Anyway, that being said, I did want to talk Cavs magic, and I'm glad the Cavs look like the part this year in the playoffs. Also, just a side note, I'm a little disappointed in AD, LeBron, and Joel Embiid yesterday. Their press conferences were embarrassing. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But the Cavs, toughness, the mental edge, I think they've learned something. And I think if they get past the Magic, which it looks like they will, I don't know. I have a good feeling about the Boston series. And maybe they actually did learn something from last year's playoffs, guys. I mean, I don't know. It takes you know, getting used to that pressure, the whole experience. And that's all I got today.
Thank you, Chris. Always outstanding phone call. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Chris.
It's very hard not to want to look ahead right now, Jeff, after watching those first two games.
Don't look ahead.
I know.
Though the Cavs have won the first two games, there are some things that they need to clean up to even get out of this series, Andy. Again, remember, let's go LeBron. He's right on this. Playoffs series doesn't start until the road team wins a game.
So what happens if... Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, so if the Cavs win the next game, then it's game on.
Could
be game over.
Well, yeah, it could be.
And then you're four quarters away from any. Orlando looks young. They can't hit a three to save their lives.
And they keep jacking
JB them up. JB doesn't have to circle one player on their roster right now, does he?
Not one.
He's not saying
Franz
We really got to guard this guy. This is the recipe I think we all saw for success, and they've been able to execute it through two games.
Their defense has been good, and it's come against a team that needed some offensive help anyway. So the Cavs have done a really nice job in these first two games. And I just love the offensive flow and the way that it's – I've preached all year, Andy. If you get Mobley, you get Jarrett involved, and you have Donovan and Darius doing their thing – And Darius, I like the way he's played in this series. He hasn't forced much of anything.
I think the crowds have been great the last two nights, too. I don't know, maybe the lower ticket prices trying to get in on the secondary market helped out the crowds a little bit. Because the energy, I wasn't in there, but I could just, you know, I can kind of get a feel for what the energy is by watching it on TV. It seemed like it was pretty good. I had so many phone calls and texts last night from friends that were so upset that they couldn't watch the game. I mean, just mad. You'd think a playoff game, they'd be able to figure out a way, right? They'd figure out a way that everyone could watch these games. It's a playoff game. And like, I mean, I was lucky enough to be somewhere where I could watch it last night.
Stay tuned, Andy.
I got pun intended. Jeff, I've got emails and texts, and I mean, if you looked at social media last night,
would they expect you to help?
Well, I think so. They couldn't figure out why.
I want to watch Baskin Vision.
Well, no, they said why. So you tell me if this is the wrong answer. I said, well, NBA TV, it doesn't have the local market, and if Bally's pays money to have the rights to these games, they're going to leave these games on Bally rather than put it on NBA TV. I mean, it's about rights holder, isn't it?
Remember when everything went down and I threw out the notion of teams buying stations or maybe just putting their games on free TV.
Yeah.
God, I hope that happens.
Well, I think it made it worse.
I mean, I think it could.
The Cavaliers did put games on free TV this year, and you're going to tell me they couldn't put a playoff game on free TV? It's a bad look. I mean, if your fans can't get to the game and they want to watch the game and they want to be a part of it, and then you're excluding them because of the way it's set up, I feel bad for everybody on this.
Having worked at Channel 43 when we had Indians and Cavs games,
mm-hmm.
it was just a really cool thing. And it was cool for the station. It was really cool for people who wanted to watch games because you could just turn on the television and watch games. And I think that that's a great recipe for teams moving forward. However, there are so many different venues that are competing to televise games now. I don't know if that will ever happen to the extent that I'd love to see it. Like it used to.
Jeff, when you're not on cable, though, and you don't have somebody else providing that stream, you're talking about your revenue probably getting cut and to the fourth.
Very true. And it's an issue they all have to figure out.
All right, Mary Kay Cabot's going to join us next. We're going to talk to her about the draft and the Browns.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.